I want to look at a very well-known passage with you this morning, and I'm sure you've had many sermons on this, but we will concentrate purely on one or two verses. This is the Word of God, and I'm reading from the NIV, but before we do that, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Word. We give you thanks that is the Word of truth, and we give you thanks that we need look no further than your book for guidance for our own daily living. And as we gather here this morning, we pray again, Lord, that you would make your book live to us. But help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, as we heard from the children's address. So bless our time together, bless his word to us, and give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, and we pick up from verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when," you notice that word when people, not if, but when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. And may God bless this reading of his word to us. I just want to thank the folk who picked the songs. Unbelievable. Very good. Thank you. I like them. If the PowerPoint doesn't work and I shout the word when or now, it's to let somebody at the back press a button. Because technology and I don't really exist. For those of you who have an age, I'm still at the age where you went about with an empty tin, a bean can that was empty, and a piece of string. That's where I am in my technology, just to let you know. But I just bow to superior knowledge. Okay, let's go. This is just a drawing, by the way. This isn't a picture of my heart, just in case. But this morning, I want to look at our hearts and ask the question, next one, can the hearts be changed? Next one. And the Bible says they can. Can hearts be changed? And the Bible says, yes, they can. And they can by being open and responding. Next. To these three things. Go ahead. Next. The Word, the fullness. And next one as well. The blood of Christ. That's what God's Word tells us. So for anybody's heart to be changed, there's probably more verses in the Bible than that, but I just want to concentrate on these three with you. And if you look at these things, our hearts are changed by the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next one. And I want just to remind you that in all our lives, if you know Christ the Saviour, the Trinity are always involved. And these three things mainly, you're planned by God. So when you wake up in the morning, be aware, God planned you. Secondly, we're purchased by Christ. We gather here because he came and died for us. And the third thing is, we are preserved by the Spirit. And just to show off, he put a nice tree up as well, just to tie up with these things. Bethlehem, God is with us. Calvary, Christ is for us. And at Pentecost, the Spirit is in us. So you understand that? The three of them, all through our lives, if we came to know Christ as Saviour, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always going to be there. Next one. A single lady. I hope it's a single lady up there. She's praying at the midweek meeting. She prays for these three things. Lord, give me a pure heart. Next. Lord, give me a pure heart. Lord, give me a clean heart. And the last one, she says, Lord, give me a sweet heart. Now, we are sitting wondering, as she's looking for those, again, my age, remember these wee bags of sweets you got that had wee verses on them, you know? We wonder whether she was looking for a bag of sweets or she was looking for a boyfriend. But we're never, ever sure. But let me say this. Everybody wants to be loved. Let me tell you a story. Maybe you've heard this one before, and I don't want to offend anybody, but for those of you who know me, well, that's partly and partial. You might remember the story of the wee boy. He wasn't a wee boy, he was a teenager. And he brought this girl home that he fancied, if you know the Glaswegian. So he brought this girl home to his mother, and his mother didn't like her. So I was going to say he dumped her, that's no. But he finished the relationship, and he found another girl and brought her home to his mother, and his mother didn't like her. He found another one. He found a girl exactly like his. Oh, we've been there. He found a girl exactly like his mother. His father couldn't stand her. Anyway. Lord, give me a pure heart. Lord, give me a clean heart. Next one. John Piper, that great man of God, said this. Jesus did not come into this world simply because we had some bad habits that need to be broken. He came into this world because we have dirty hearts that need to be purified. Great verse, isn't it? What a man John Piper is. And when we speak of the heart, we think of the physical organ that pumps blood through our body. And most people are concerned today about their hearts, about their physical organ, how well their condition is. And I hope I don't fall down. I hope I don't have a heart attack. And yet heart disease is one of the causes of death in our country today. So understandably, we are concerned naturally about the physical heart, whether it's good or whether it's bad. But why aren't people so concerned about their spiritual hearts? And you and I should be concerned how we live. Ever since the beginning of time, sin has come into the world, and we know what like it is. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. The serpent, well, he never had a leg to stand on. So that's how it goes, ever since the very, very beginning. And this next one, and that's what Genesis 5 says, 6 verse 5. Every intent of the heart, of his heart, was only evil continually. That's how God saw us. And he had to rectify that. The prophet, next one, the prophet Jeremiah says this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Next one. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, a good man of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So if I speak nice things, I should be a nice person. And if I badmouth people, prone to do. It reflects on how our heart is. And Proverbs says this, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And I'm sure we know these verses. And it sounds all gloom and doom, but we're going to brighten up a wee bit. Anyway, next one. That's what we want to concentrate on this morning. And thanks very much, Ian, for these songs. Unbelievable. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? They will see God. You need to take that in. These are the words that Jesus spoke to his own followers. And Jesus calls his own followers there, as he calls you and I, if you know him as Lord and Saviour, calling us to a purity of heart. And what does Jesus mean when he spoke about the purity of heart? Pure does not mean perfect, because if it does, then we're all struggling, because none of us are perfect. And I know there are a lot of people, good speakers, better than me, all over the world, will tell you different things. But basically, pure has two things, two basic meanings. The first one is to make pure by cleansing and unmixing or undiluted. Number one, we're clean. And number two, undiluted. So the pure are those who have been cleansed. And I trust all of us in this room have given our lives to Christ. Because you've been cleansed. And in Christ, you and I are made perfect, although we still slip up. Well, I do. You probably don't, because you're good people. So this purity, this pure of heart, commences when we become Christians, when we give our lives to Christ. We have come to Jesus in recognition of our sins and have asked him and received forgiveness, and he has cleansed us from our sins. If we confess, he will forgive. So the pure in heart are those who have, next one, who have been cleansed, not through any human effort, but rather through the experience of new birth. And you and I, if we've given our lives to Christ, are born again. Jesus, next one, Jesus tells us, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. What did that verse say? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So we need to be cleansed. Secondly, pure means unmixed or undiluted. It's a word that's used to describe clear water. So there's no impurities. Next one. So the pure in heart are those, and I want to say this, a single-minded goal is to please and glorify God. I'm sure like me, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes in an evening when everything's all finished, you say to yourself, did I please God today? Did I? Woo! To please God, that is devotion. That's another sermon, but not for today. God's word says you cannot serve two masters. It must be God and nothing else, and that is hard to do. But we still should be single-minded for the things of Christ, and yet you and I know, and for those of us who've been involved in churches for a long, long time, double-mindedness has always been a problem within the church. And the trouble is always a divided heart. So here's a part of my heart that says, I want to worship God. And another part of my heart says, aye, that'll be right, Jim. Go and do your own thing. So purity of heart, in a sense, is singleness of heart as opposed to divided heart. And you and I would probably call that no double allegiance. Can I just go back a wee bit? And I don't have any PowerPoints for this, so you can let your fingers get a wee rest now. In verse 4, I struggle sometimes with verse 4. It says, blessed are those who mourn. Can I just say to you, I don't find mourning a happy experience. I'm pleased if folk are saved and they go to heaven. I can do double somersaults for that. But the whole mourning process. But I believe that this verse can also indicate that you and I should be mourning for our nation. When you see the state we're in. And I know that, as I probably know this, there's a thing called the quiet or the silent revival. There are teenagers turning up in churches today and nobody can explain why, apart from the Holy Spirit? Can't you find out what is life all about? And apparently in Britain, the number of Bible sales has gone sky high. So God's still working. Nevertheless, we live in an anti-God community, an anti-God society, an anti-God culture. And that is where God has placed us for reason and for purpose. Therefore, I have to be pure in heart so that people can see Jesus in me. That's why Jesus tells us in that passage, you and I need to be salt and light. And to be salt and light, there must be that purity. As soon as we've given our hearts and lives to Christ, we should have a desire to live a pure and holy life. We will not be sinless, but we should sin less. Jesus, going back to what I said earlier, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, and he says that to his own disciples. It's just Jesus and the disciples here. And he's telling them, as he tells us today, there is something more than just being a Christian. There's something more than just being a follower. There's something more than just knowing sins forgiven and belonging to him. He is calling us to a purity of heart. Still hard, but he expects it of us. He tells me it's a blessed and a happy experience. To be clean within means happy and contentment. It's funny, the world in which we live in today is morally unclean. And yet we live in a day when people want clean clothes, clean food, clean streets, clean air. We look around, our MPs and leaders express a deep concern to cut down air pollution, electric cars. Now, don't ask me my view on that. That's like sitting in a Skeletrix, these electric cars. In hospitals and operating rooms, there's a desire for everything to be clean. And yet in this age, when so many demand cleanliness in the physical sense, in the spiritual sense, the moral sense, uncleanness. So you can understand why Jesus says to his people, see where I've placed you. They're this and that. They don't know me. You need to be me. You be salt. You be light. Let your light shine so folk know who we belong to. And Jesus calls, can I just say this to you? What you are matters. What you are matters. And you are, can I say this? You are not a nothing. In the eyes of God, you are in fact significant. You are who you are in Christ. What I am is far more important than what I do or where I go. What I am. And what you are this morning is important. And can I say this? You, if you know Christ the Saviour, are living examples of Jesus. So go and be salt. Yeah. Go and be like, woo. Jesus says, can you put the next one up? Just a couple of things. And again, we could spend a lot of time on this, but we've not got time. Salt purifies. Do you know that? I'm sure you're scientists among you, and electricians and BTX guys and everything. They know these things. I know nothing. I just put salt on my fish and that's it. But it purifies. And we know that salt is taken from the sea and from the earth, and that salt must be cleansed and refined before we can use it. So God can take us and refine us and cleanse us so that we can be used for him. It's amazing. Salt cleans things. I worked for the civil service for 40 odd years. I say work. I turned up now and again. But I had a couple of offices, and in all these offices I had my own teacup. And see, sometimes it was brown, just with the tea inside. And one of the girls would always go away and clean it and use about a ton of sacks of salt. just to get the dirt off. But salt cleanses. And I want to say this to you. Salt also breaks up ice in cold weather. It makes slippery places safe to walk on without falling. And perhaps our testimony might be just what others need to prevent them from slipping and falling and from wrongdoing. Salt makes a difference whatever it touches. Next one. That's what they say in Colossians chapter 4. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Perhaps not you, because I like to go home in one piece. There are many Christians, salt of the earth, who are still in the salt shaker. They're scared to come out. And yet God tells us, be what you can be out there. Salt always calls attention to the food, not to the salt itself. And you and I are called to give attention, not to us, but to Christ himself. Anyway, let's look at three things. Oh, we'll be here all day. Three things mentioned in the Bible. Next one. You and I are cleansed or purified by the blood. So firstly, we must recognize and admit our own sin and our own wrongdoing. Next one. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And see, if you've been forgiven, you're forgiven. So if you've done a sin that you wish you'd never done, you've asked God to forgive you, you're forgiven. Don't carry it with you. From the moment of salvation, God now sees us as new creation through the shed blood of Christ. Just as the human blood purifies the body as it circulates day by day, so in one of the great mysterious spiritual things, Christ's blood does the same for us, spiritually. My hope is built on nothing less than. Yeah, oh, could have sang that as well. It's a tremendous thing to have a clean heart filled with a love of joy. Secondly, the Bible cleanses or purifies. God's word will do that. If you apply the word daily, and I hope you read your Bibles every day, because read your Bible, pray every day, and what happens? You'll grow, grow, grow. Oh, I should have brought my guitar and make the sign of these old ones. We're here all day. But we miss a lot of these things. Next one. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. That's what Jesus prayed for his Father, for his people. Sanctify them. And the more you and I read the truths, the more you and I read the Bible, the more truths we will learn. It will have an effect on your life. When Jesus faced Satan in the wilderness, what did he quote? The Bible. So if you're ever tempted, quote the Bible. Quoting the Bible and winning the battle than asking God for forgiveness because you slipped up. You and I have to guard our hearts by your word. And that's hope you've always got these daily notes because you're great. Good for knowledge and good for building it up. Since I retired, I'm trying to work out what that word is. Since I stopped paid employment, is that better? I've got a new workstation at home. I'm just letting you know that. It's called the sink. You know? I've now learned how to work the washing machine. That's a big for me. I'm telling you. You know? I know where the powder goes and the other thing. And something else goes somewhere else. I know which cycle to put it on. And I press a button. So, listen. You take your dirty clothes and you put them in the washing machine. You do that. It does a wee cycle thingy. 40 minutes later, whatever spin you're on, I don't know, the clothes come out, they're clean. How does that work? I don't know how it works. In the same way, when you come to God's word, if you look at it as being water that cleanses, you can read that. You will never take everything in, but it has to have an effect on your life. That's what he's saying. Read your Bible and you'll grow. You know? Oh, it's amazing what you do when you're retired. Next one. I just throw that in. God's word will not only inform, but it will transform. I read a story some time ago, probably an American, you know. This is what he says. If you take a 5-gallon jug, that's a big jug, isn't it? If you take a 5-gallon jug and you pour it on a wicker basket every day, you won't have much water in the basket, but you will have a clean basket. And he's implying, if you read the word, it has to cleanse. So thirdly, not only does the blood and the Bible purify, but also the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, as disciples waited upon God, confessing their needs, it was while they were praying that the fire, the Holy Spirit, came down. Next one. The Spirit cleansed their hearts by faith. Next one. And forgiveness of sins in the New Testament is linked inseparably with the outpouring and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Fire purifies, doesn't it? This is confession time. I like cowboy and Indian pictures, you know. I sit and watch them. There's John Wayne on a horse, 45 arrows in his back, and he's going, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then he falls off his horse. Somebody turns up with a big bowie knife about 45 feet long, and he sticks it in the fire to purify, so he can get the all these bullets and everything else out. Hospitals need these things purified. You and I, can I say this to you? Come before the great physician. God himself can use us, but we must be clean channels. And so by being clean and pure in heart and cleansed from sin. Then it goes on to say, next one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Next one. First of all, I trust you see him in your daily lives. Sometimes when things aren't going, we'll come to that in a wee second, sometimes when things aren't going the way you want them, it's difficult to see God. And sometimes it's only when you get to my age that you look back and you see how much God was in your life. Next one. I trust you see God in creation. Judy and I know a girl who came to faith in Christ by looking at a tree. Amazing. She sat and looked at a tree one day and said, how? Why? When? And God just spoke to her. And I put this one up as well. I hope you see God in your circumstances. We were next door praying, and Ian was praying, rejoice always. I'm thinking, sometimes that's hard. I know God's word tells us that we should, you know. And sometimes you've probably gone through circumstances, and we've been through things that you've never brought on yourself. I mean, know these phrases. I'm very, very careful how I say this. If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. I'm not saying it's a cop-out. But it's true. God does not intend for us to be thankful for everything that happens. But he does expect us to be thankful in everything. And Ian was telling me he broke his arm or his wrist. He wasn't thanking God that he broke his arm, but he was thanking God for the painkillers. You know? And that, you know, it's how you look at it. I just want to dwell a couple of things if I can with you, and then we'll try and wrap things up. Can you put the next one up? These are the three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But look at their circumstances. If you came from Glasgow, it's Big Shack, Meshach, and a bungalow. But that's what they were known as. But they were there. Now you look at these three guys in particular and their circumstances. No matter what circumstance they found themselves in, they were not going to allow the circumstances to persuade them that God had left them and forgotten them. Next one. A guy called Ralph Davis said this. God could have delivered them from the fire. But what do we say? God delivered them in the fire. That's two different things. Rejoice always. Good verse, Ian. That is hard. Hard. Can I also say to you, if you're going through a tough, tough time, Jesus won't leave you alone in the storm. Next one. Next one. That's it. That's Peter. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the water. Do you know who they saw? Next. Next. Just look at that for a second. Jesus saw the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a big circle. That's Jesus. He's in there with them. You might not like what you're in, but somebody's there with you. Next one. We often lift our eyes only high enough to see our problems, but not high enough to see God. In your life, when you're going through tough times, are you moaning or are you counting your blessings? Jesus will always be there for us in the storms. He'll be with you in your vacancy. He'll be with you no matter what you go through. He may not come as quick as you'd like, but he still knows when we need him the most. Next one. You've probably heard these phrases. Next one. If you're through a tough time, see him walking towards you. Just put your hand up and take a hold of him. Next one. You will not only see him in your daily life, your creation. Next one. Certainly, and this is the and we'll finish with this. You'll see him in eternity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Next one. Warren Wiersbe said this, when the heart is pure, then the vision is clear, and a man will see God. That's worth waiting for, isn't it? Our reward to see God. For the believer, faith gives way to sight. Our faith becomes sight. Somewhere, somehow, we will be made clean from all sin. For without a pure heart, we cannot enter heaven. When Jesus comes back again or calls us in the twinkling of an eye, everything, next one, everything will be changed. Next one as well. These verses you all know. We will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We will be raised incorruptible. How pure can that be? So you and I ascend to heaven pure, holy and undefiled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Next one. Next one. Next one. Just put them all up. I don't need to say that. My throat's a... Oh, there. Oh, there. Hard as it is. It's no easy living the Christian life, let me tell you. So, dear friends, be salt, be light where God has placed you in your neighborhood. Go and live as resurrected men and women. Be salt, be light, be blessed, and be a blessing. For his name's sake and your great good. Amen.